pay the price for all my guilty. Who would care that much about me? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh, he makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about
y'all this morning. I know it's a holiday weekend. We got family out of town. We've got family in town, but it's just great to see y'all this morning as we worship and meet together. And we're going to take time just to welcome our guests. I know we've got some here visiting with us and some that I'm glad to see here. So y'all stand up, greet each other, and welcome each other.
Dedication had several families that took part that day, and during that time we had one family that said, you know, we want to dedicate our child, but we just can't do that Sunday. Our family's not going to be in town. Is that an issue? Can we do another day? And of course y'all have heard me talk about the videos that we have them watch and things like that, and you know, the people that they invite here is important. We want them to invite those that are going to have an influence in this child's life, and so family that would be included in. And so of course there's no problem. We said yes, you just tell us when. And this was the weekend. They said, we've got family in town, it's a great time to have them, and so they're going to come and take part in baby dedication today. And so if the Barclays will go ahead and start coming this way. Caitlin and John are bringing Decker today. All right, and as they come, this is a good reminder for us, if you were invited, if you are part of their family, we are definitely thankful that you're here. and for the influence you'll have in this child's life. And know that they value the influence you're going to have in this child's life, whether it's a grandbaby, a niece, a nephew, any of the above, right? And for you and us as the church, we want to remember this time, because this is a time where we're not just having their family come alongside them, but this is a time where we are hopefully coming alongside them as well, and we're committing to pray for them, to be with them, whether that's as Decker is in nursery, whether as he grows up in the Sunday school classes he may be in the VBSs he may attend, and all those different things. And so we're excited to have y'all here today to dedicate Decker. So Joel's not here today, so I get to try this part, so good luck. But I will make a statement, make a question, and of course y'all just simply respond with "we do." And then for us as the church, we will turn in a second, and we will have a time of commitment as well. So, do you now present your son, Decker, before God in solemn dedication? Do you consecrate yourselves as parents to bring up your child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Do you covenant together to strive to bring Decker knowledge of the Scriptures, to teach him or her loving, obedient reverence for God and for his son, Jesus Christ, and to use all the agencies of the church to accomplish this?
We do.
And now to the church. Do you, church, the gathered congregation, acknowledge that the Christian nurture of a child is mutual servants of the home and the church? And do you promise to uphold Decker with prayerful concern, and insofar as you are able to provide an atmosphere in which he may grow to wholesome Christian maturity? We do. All right, well, having read these vows and heard these promises, we do solemnly and joyfully commend Decker to the divine care and protection of God, our Heavenly Father, for all the years of his life. And he's excited, too, as if you can't tell. So, we are excited. Let me give y'all this is a gift from our church for him to just remember this, and we are so thankful for that. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. And God, we do lift up Decker to you and just pray for, Lord, his growth, his maturity over the years. And Lord, as he's going to grow up and have so many milestones in his life, we pray for those from the time that he begins running to the time that he goes to school to the time that he comes to know you as his Lord and Savior to his first Sunday school class, all those different things, Lord. We just put those in your hands. We pray for these parents that you will just be with them, help them and strengthen them over the years as they go through the difficult times of raising a child, as they go through the joyful times of raising a child. And we just ask that you would direct them, give them the best knowledge and know-how that they can to make wise decisions for his life. Lord, we thank you for loving us. In your name we pray. Amen.
This song is based on the Lord's Prayer, and Matt Maher, who wrote this song, wrote it so his son would be able to memorize the Lord's Prayer. And so I want you to sing it with us. This is the first time we've done it as a congregation, and so kind of learn the tune. You probably heard it before if you listen to Christian radio, and or on your device you listen to Christian music, so you may have heard this before, and it's powerful. So as we sing the Scripture, means a great deal to us. It's based on the New International Version of the Lord's Prayer. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us as we forgive the ones who sinned against us. Forgive them. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us.
let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done.
That is our prayer, that your kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. Let it be in our hearts, first of all. Lord, you've called us to deny ourselves, to die to ourselves, and let you be Lord of all, to live as Christ, to die as a gain. Pray that you would strengthen us now as we continue to worship. Could we have our ushers come and prepare to take up the offering this morning? Lord, we come to you now in prayer, asking that you would bless the offerings that are given and multiply those and bless so that many people's lives can be changed through the word of God being spread right here in Gunnersville and throughout the world. We pray that you'd bless. I want to pray that you'd bless all of us now and comfort us with the power of your Holy Spirit as we give of our money, our time, and our talents. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Let's pray together. Lord, we lift up Brother Warren now as he comes to bring your word. I pray that you would speak the truth through him today and help us through the power of your Holy Spirit to hear that word proclaimed and to be doers of the word and to act upon it. I pray, God, that your spirit would be so evident in our midst. Comfort and strengthen each one. Help Warren as he brings the word, and bless our church family and church body today as we are aware of your presence and your glory. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Ken. We own here. Didn't test that out this morning, but good to be with y'all this morning as we come here this morning on a Memorial Day weekend, as we celebrate and we look forward to what we celebrate tomorrow. A day off of work, a day of remembering, a day of commemoration for those who have given it all, given their lives, given their everything, so that we can have the freedom that we have today. We come here this morning, and as I was preparing for this morning, as Joel and Janice are off with friends, they're down in Lake Logan Martin with friends, as Janice has finished her last day at school. I guess she's officially retired now, and so they took a weekend to go be with friends and to go out on the lake and celebrate her and be with friends and celebrate this weekend. So glad they got a chance to go do that. But just thinking about this morning and thinking about this weekend and what we celebrate and this Memorial Day weekend, and just thinking about those who have just sacrificed so that we can be here and sacrificed their freedom, their lives. Just thinking back on my grandparents, my grandfather. Got some Joneses here this morning, and it's good to see them. And just thinking back on the stories that my grandfather used to tell about his time in the service. And I've got a scrapbook at home, a family scrapbook it's huge. It's thick. It's this big. It's a huge book of all the things that he did through his time in the military, his time as sheriff, busting up steels in the 60s, and all the things that he did, pictures, things that he did, and papers and writings, newspaper articles, clippings. And just thinking about the stories, I still remember as he lived on Obrig right across from Victory Baptist Church, I remember sitting on that black leather couch in that front living room there, and him telling stories about him being, you know, in the military. And one of the things that one of the stories he always told, which was one of the biggest events of his military career, was as a sergeant. He was told to go, in World War II, he was told to go get on the ship, take his men, get on the ship, leaving upstate New York, you're headed out overseas. The two ships that left in front of them had been shot down by German U-boats and sank. And he made the decision. And what he said, it was his job to protect and serve our nation, but his very first job was to protect his men that were under him. And he made a decision that he wasn't going to board his men on that boat. His men were not getting on that boat. If there was not any other steps made to protect that ship, to protect them from the German U-boats, his men would not load it. And he was court-martialed for it. He talked to other sergeants about that, and to tell a higher-ranking sergeant that you will not load your men on that ship and you will not go, that's not an easy thing to do, I'm sure, and that's not a favorable thing to do in the military. But he did. He talked to other sergeants. They did not have the desire. They did not, you know, feel like they could stand up and do the same thing that he was doing. They loaded that ship. It took off. It sailed off from upstate New York. Was sank, and every man on that ship died. He, you know, went through many, many cases. He was, you know, he went through things he didn't receive, his honors, his badges. I remember we, you know, got those and gave those to him when he was living with my aunt up in Arab. He didn't receive his medals that he had earned till late in life. But he wasn't about that. He wanted to do what was right, and he wanted to do what blessed others, what he was put there for. He had to make a decision. And he talked about
the ones who did give their lives that he knew, sergeants that he knew, people that he had, you know, trained with and battled with and fought with, who went and gave their lives and gave it all. So I think about those stories and think about the things that, you know, I didn't serve in the military. I don't pass stories like that down to my kids and talk about those things. But I remember him, you know, sharing those stories. And that's what this weekend is about. You know, we talk about those who have given it all so that we can be free to be right here, enjoy the fruits of what God has blessed us with, enjoy the freedom to come here, to be in the house of the Lord, to worship, to be in his word. And we don't have anybody beating down the doors and oppressing us the way other nations do. We are blessed to be here this morning. But as we think about and as we, you know, the setting of this weekend, the setting of tomorrow, what we celebrate, I got to thinking about that and, of course, went to Deuteronomy 8. And that's where we'll be this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 8. The book, you know, written by Moses, and Moses telling his people as they came from the land of Egypt, as they came out of slavery, went through the desert for 40 years, a trip that some say should have taken 11 days, some say 14 days. Anyway, a trip that should have taken just a couple weeks to walk from Goshen, from Egypt, through the desert into the promised land, took 40 years. And we know that it took 40 years because of their disbelief and God disciplining them and bringing them to depend on him, to know that he is God, and as they entered that promised land, to be thankful for him. So as we look today at where we are as a nation, and as we read this in chapter 8, as we read God's warnings of what a nation is and what a nation should be, what a people should be, how our mindset should be, how grateful and how thankful we should be, and what happens when we lose sight of who brought us to the point we are today, and as we lose sight of him, what will happen to us. As we read this, this is a direct, you know, a direct foreshadowing of who we are as a nation today. So let's read in verse 1. He says, "Carefully follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and take possession of the land the Lord swore to you and your forefathers. Remember that the Lord your God led you the entire journey, these 40 years in the wilderness, so that he might humble you and test you and know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you by letting you go hungry. Then he gave you manna to eat, which you and your forefathers had not known, so that you might learn that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out. Your feet did not swell these 40 years. Keep in mind that the Lord your God has been disciplining you, just as a man disciplines his son. So keep the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and springs and deep water sources flowing in both valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, vines, figs, pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you will eat without shortage, where you will lack nothing, and a land whose rocks are iron and from whose hills you will mine copper. When you eat and are full, you will bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. But here's the warning. But be careful that you don't forget the Lord your God by failing to keep his commands and ordinances and statutes that I am giving you today. When you eat and are full and build beautiful homes to live in, and your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold multiply, and everything else you have increases, be careful that your heart does not become proud and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, the land in the place of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with poisonous snakes and scorpions, a thirsty land where there was no water. He brought water out of the flint rock for you. He fed you in the wilderness with manna which your forefathers had not known in order to humble you and test you, that in the end he might cause you to prosper. You may say to yourself, my power and my ability have gained this wealth for me. But remember that the Lord your God gives you the power to gain wealth in order to confirm his covenant he swore to your fathers, as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and bow and worship to them, I testify against you today that you will perish. Like the nations the Lord is about to destroy before you, you will perish if you do not obey the Lord your God. So we see God telling his people. We see God telling his people, I am the one who have led you. I am the one who went before you in a pillar of fire at night, a cloud covering during the day. I have brought you this far. I have provided for you. I have met your every need, even though it may not have been exactly how you thought it might go and might not be exactly how you wanted it. I have met your every need, and I have led you, and I have guided you. And as you get to this wilderness and this desert, when you get into this land, do not forget my blessings on you. Do not forget how I have provided and met your needs. And then we look around our nation today. We look around at where we are today, the things that are going on in our culture, the stances directly against the Word of God. I say it all the time to our youth just to remind us where we are. I've said it right here from this pulpit, where we are as a nation, removing Scripture from our schools, removing prayer from our schools, removing the Ten Commandments from our courtrooms. We have turned against God. We have removed Him from our lives, from our lives out in the world. Students today, as a youth minister, students today have to lead prayers, have to lead Bible studies. You can't have adults to guide our students to knowing God, knowing His truth. Everything in the classroom is done. Everything, the FCAs, all the prayers, everything has to be student-led. We have removed our blessings. We have removed God's blessings from our land. And as I, you know, in Sunday school and in Bible study and in with our youth, what I always remind them is, what do we see? It's hard for them to grasp these Old Testament stories sometimes. It's hard for them to see what they need to see and get what we need to get out of it. But I just always remind them, what we always see through the Old Testament is the nature of God. We see His nature, that over and over the nation of Israel failed. And even though they failed, God always redeemed them. When they turned back to Him, He restored them. Over and over through the book of Judges, 12 different judges through the book of Judges came and restored the nation of Israel when they turned. And when they cried out to God, He always delivered them. And we see the nature of God through this story and through His Old Testament. And also, we see the nature of man. We see our own nature. We see how we have a tendency to fall. We have a tendency to get distracted. We have a tendency to run away from God and turn away from Him. If you have time, go and Google how many times in Scripture, from Old Testament to New Testament, it tells us to remember. 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 And you see how many times it's like, man, we must be a forgetful people. And I know myself, I am a forgetful person. And I don't know who it was that, I really can't even remember who it was. We were talking right in front of the fellowship hall one Wednesday night, and they said something that definitely fits me and my personality, talking about remembering. There's only two things in this life that I ever forget. Only two things that I forget. One is names. I struggle with names. I really struggle with names. The other one, I tend to be a person, I'll just forget stuff that I should know, that, you know, and that's who we are as a people. That's who the nation of Israel was. And if you look at us as the people and look at how God's nature and how we are, in verse 2, as I go back, it says, remember that the Lord your God led you on this entire journey, that these 40 years in the wilderness, so that He might humble you and test you and know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. So do you think in that verse that God didn't know what was in the people's heart? That God didn't know exactly where they were, what was in their hearts? It says he humbled you to test you to know what was in your heart and know whether you would keep their commands. God knew exactly what was in their heart. Sometimes we need to have a reality check. Sometimes we have to go through tests in life to see where we are, because we always feel like, oh, I could handle that. If I was to go through that, I would do that this way, or I would do this, or I would be strong in that, until we get in that moment. I mean, women, have you ever watched sports with your husbands and heard the comments, oh, how could he drop that pass? Or how could he not make that play? How could he not make that throw? Oh, I would have caught that ball. Oh, I could have, you know, see, we as men and we as people, we always think, oh, if I was in that situation, oh, I could have done that. I could have done that. You know, we put ourselves and we have a better vision of ourselves than we should sometimes, right? Until we're put in that situation. And that's how we are as people. We see that as people, you know, we can say that we would do this. And as we look back through Scripture, it's easy to say, how could they forget God? How could they go through all that they did in the desert? And how could they forget what God directly did for them? But we as people see our human nature. And what God calls them to do is to look back. And if you look at the celebration of Passover, you look at what he did and what he told them to celebrate. If you've ever taken a Seder meal and tasted the bitter herbs dipped in salt water, and that taste in your mouth, they did that for hundreds of years until the coming of Jesus. And Jesus was there when he was crucified, celebrating that Passover meal, that Seder meal, that God calls us to look back at what we came through. And he called them to eat those bitter herbs and remember what he had pulled them from. We as people don't like to look back at things that, especially as Americans, we don't like to look back at times in our lives that were hard, times in our lives that we hurt, that we struggled. I don't like to look back at losing my father a year and a half ago, losing my nephew a month later, getting electrocuted. I don't like looking back at those moments. I don't want to relive those. But he calls us to see how he was walking with us in those moments. He calls us to look back and see how he pulled us through, how he gave us strength, how he gave us peace, and how he delivered us. And in Luke chapter 17, Jesus, as we see how we are forgetful and we as people don't want to give recognition to God, we don't want to thank him and take time in him. I'm not going to read it, but we all know the story where Jesus, in verse 11 through 19, Jesus heals 10 lepers. 10 men with leprosy, as he's walking into Jerusalem, come up to him, staying at a distance, and cry out to him, Jesus, Rabbi, Messiah, save us. And he says, go present yourselves before the Pharisees. And they are healed. And out of those 10, only one comes back to thank him, to praise him, to worship him, to honor him. We as Americans are the same way. We want the blessings of God. We want to have the blessings and the healings and all that in God through him. But as soon as we get blessings, we run off and live our own lives and forget where the blessings came from, and we just live on our own. And what I remind our youth all the time is our blessings come, just like we read in Deuteronomy 8, our blessings come through his obedience. If we want to be blessed by God, we walk in obedience. And when we walk in obedience with him, we receive his blessings. But what we just read says that when we forget who delivered us, when we forget who brought us into this land and blessed us, when we forget, we remove ourselves from his blessings. And we want to live and make our own decisions and live my life. I should be able to do whatever I want to with my body. Women have rights to do whatever they want to with the child within their womb, right? We forget who we are. We live on our own. And not only do we step out to live on our own, we step out of God's blessings. God's blessings are in his obedience. Yet we want to live over here and do what we want to do, yet still receive the blessings that God wants to provide for us. And he tells us plainly, that is not how it works. Your blessings are in my obedience and serving me and honoring me through the hard times, through the good times. And so as I look back at my life and look at the things that I've gone through, it's hard for me in those moments to praise him. But I see his blessing all over me. I see his blessings on my life. I see how he has just blessed me over and over. And for us, God knows it is important for us as people, in order to live our lives in the way that he has called us, we have got to be able to see where we came from, what we've been through, how he has led us. We've got to have that rearview mirror and know, not to focus on it, but to know what we've been through, what he's blessed us in, and given us strength for what lies ahead. Just this very weekend, my oldest son had surgery. Drew's got cystic fibrosis. He's had 7 sinus surgeries. Had another one Friday. His one lobe completely scarred shut. He only was breathing through one side of his nose, completely scarred shut from the previous sinus surgeries. They go in, Jimmy Lee goes in, does a great job, prayed over him. But during the surgery, as he's cleaning out his left side, eye bulges. Blows blood vessels, everything's swollen. Causes damage, we're unsure. But in that moment, all I know is that God is in control. That God has got him, that he has prayed over, and he is in God's hands. Is that what our kids are seeing in us today? As we live our lives today, we don't tell stories. We don't live. We don't celebrate the Passover meal like they were instructed to do year after year and talk about the bitter things they went through and talk about the slavery that they were in. We don't serve in the military and talk about things that we've been through and things we've gone through to help others, to cause others to prosper. But do we show our faith? Do our kids see our faith in how we live and how we battle through the struggles of life? Do they see us believing? Do they see us living it out and speaking blessings and truth and depending on him? Do they see our faith and our walk, that we can pass on to them the blessings of God? Can we pass on to them a faith in him who can deliver them, because they are in a struggle? Our youth are being attacked in so many different ways, through social media, through being on their phones, through music, through movies. Our youth are so under attack. Depression, anxiety, the things that we deal with day after day. I was talking with the one who came and spoke at Worship on the Water, talking with Algernon this week, texting him, asking how ministry's going, talking about an event coming up this summer where he's going to be speaking in New Hope. And he said, "Brother, I don't see how you do it. How do you stay strong in dealing with these youth? We just had Senior Recognition Sunday, and we just graduated a group of seniors. We've already had one got a DUI, one got charged with drug possession, and one called me saying he's having suicidal thoughts, thinking about killing himself." The battles that are waged against us right now are real. Are we passing on a faith that our kids are seeing us walk through life with his strength, knowing that we're going to go through battles, knowing that we're going to go through hard times, but we're dependent on him? That they see that in us. We are going to struggle. We are going to battle. We're going to have hard times, but he is faithful till the end. And if we see what he has brought us through in life, and if we look back at our lives and see the times, yes, it's been hard, but he has delivered us, then we will know which way to go. And as a close, we had Singer Recognition Sunday a couple Sundays ago, and so I've been going through the Jesus Calling book. And one of the ones that fit this morning comes from the August 26th. It says, "Trust in me in the midst of all your trials. Your inner calm, my peace, your peace in my presence need not be shaken by what is going on around you. Though you live in this temporal world, your innermost being is rooted and grounded in eternity. When you start to feel stressed, detach yourself from the disturbances around you. Instead of desperately striving to maintain order and control in your world, relax and remember that circumstances cannot touch my peace. Seek my face, and I will share my mind and my heart with you, opening your eyes to the things from my perspective. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not be afraid. The peace I give is sufficient for you in all trials." Dear Lord, I just thank you for today. Thank you that you are a God who chooses us to be in a relationship for us, though you have created galaxies and a universe that we can't even fathom the ends of. There are no ends to it. Lord, you are a God that chooses us to be in relationship with us in our personal lives and our everyday struggles. You want to be there for us and meet our needs, and we praise you. We thank you for that, God. Lord, I pray that you will help us to seek you through all the struggles that we go through, to be faithful to you in this beautiful land that you've given us, this beautiful city that you have placed us in, Lord. Your beauty is all around. What a beautiful lake. What beautiful mountains. God, we praise you. Lord, help us to not forget your blessings, your eternal presence, the calling you've given us. Help us to pass on our faith to the generations coming behind us, to our children. Help us to honor you with our lives, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen. The invitation this morning is, Lord, I need you. Anyone who needs to make a decision, join the church, it's open for you this morning. Y'all stay with us. Thank you.
Be seated. Skip on through. That's the Martin family that joined several weeks ago. I've tried to take that out several times, but for some reason it's still in there. Keep going. All right, now Vacation Bible School is coming up very soon, next Sunday, in fact, June the 4th. Registration is live, so go ahead and get signed up for that. I know many of you have committed to teach and volunteered in different areas. It's going to be a great time together. Let's keep going. We've got a great trip lined up for our mature adults to Catfish Cabin. Yes, they still exist. And Bucky's in Athens. And if you've never been to Bucky's before, woo, what an experience that is. So the Gridiron Conference is coming up June the 16th and 17th. And there's a sign-up sheet. Are there any, Elliot, any more spots available on that? Still a few more left, so you can sign up and be a part of that. There's a lot of great speakers, and I'm sure they'll have great music as well. So that's in Huntsville. And next, all right. As you can see, we've kind of got a makeshift set up with our projector. It decided to give us a lot of trouble Wednesday night during a missionary program, and it was not the perfect time for that to happen. So Tammy and I spent several hours up here working on it. We got the bulb replaced and everything, but there's some settings that you have to go in and change. And so still working on that, praying we'll get that done. But this has served us well today, and I've prayed over that and thank the Lord it got us through this service, praying it'll get us through the next. Brother Warren?
Yeah, no youth this Wednesday night. I will be with Gabe. He's won a Spirit of America Award. I think it's the only one in. He's got the Bryant Jordan Award that he's already won and been presented, but he has got another award. Well, he will have to go to Washington to be presented. So I will be with him this Wednesday night making a video for that. So no youth activities this Wednesday night.
Okay. And that's great news. I think Gabe's still working at our local McDonald's, right?
He is.
So if you pop in there and see him behind the counter there, congratulate him on this.
And he has now received a car. They are setting it up for him to be able to drive and do everything with his one hand. He has the car. He's getting it set up for that and ready to take a ride with him.
Woo. Man. All right. Hey, it's great to see you today. Just so glad to have all of our guests here today, and you're welcome. We're so glad you're here. See folks all around, and so we're glad that you're here. Hope that you'll be blessed as you enjoy time maybe with family and continue to lift up our friends and loved ones, the McGowans, and want to encourage you to do that. Brother Paul, you got any word? Why don't you dismiss us in prayer, and then we'll sing I'm So Blessed as we go out.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, and we thank you for those brave Americans who have given their all so that we could have freedom. We thank you for each person who's here today, and thank you for Ken and for Micah and for Warren and their leadership, and continue to bless us as we go forth in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm so blessed. Hallelujah, I'm blessed. I'm so blessed. Hallelujah, I'm blessed. Child of God,
on my worst day,
I'm a child of God.
Oh, every day is a good day.
Your
Hallelujah, I'm blessed.
Yeah.